How they're feeling, and here he is.
Hello, Mark.
Hello, Dave, all right?
Yeah, not too bad, sir. Yourself?
Yes, I'm fine, thanks, mate. I'm fine.
Good, good, good. I know, it's quite funny. I was saying to people today when they were saying to me, have you got on tonight? And I said that Mark was coming on. I said, well, I said, it's quite funny. We had a text conversation last year when you said to me, I'm not coming on, the season's over. And I think 2 weeks late, you were in the playoffs.
That's very true, yeah. Yeah, there you go, mate.
So then, I suppose, tell him, mate. So I suppose it's the first question for me is you know, people have heard Ray Dyer was on earlier on, you know, sort of have chatting and saying, you know, about games coming up and games that have just been, and the best team will win it, and being very sort of like, you know, complimentary to Needham and so forth. I mean, where do you see things panning out over the next few weeks?
Oh gosh. I think the Needham Harlow game will be an important game. I know things could change in the meantime, but football's not like that, is it really? I think there's every chance that the points might be a bit closer, and that might be quite a crucial match. I think, you know, which I suspect for the supporters would be good, not for the managers, mind you.
Hi, Mark. It's Keith.
Hello, Keith.
Hello, mate. Mark, just. You know, we talk about the Harlow game coming up, but you know, you're on the back of seven straight wins, and obviously, you know, and done very well. I went over and watched you play Brentwood a couple of weeks ago, and I thought you'd done really well after the first maybe 10 minutes, where it was a little bit sort of up and down. Your next three games, Heybridge, Wroxham, and Dereham, look three very tough games, especially with two of them being local derbies. What's the sort of, looking at the two derbies, what's the sort of impressions up there of them two games against Wroxham and Dereham?
Well, I think the reason they're called local derbies in some respects might just be because we came from the Eastern Counties League. I mean, they're actually quite a distance away from us, actually, as it turns out. But, I mean, nevertheless, we obviously know the pair of Wroxham and Dereham, so, you know, that makes some interesting games. I think the thing is that, you know, from our point of view, and I suspect Harlow is exactly the same, you know, neither of us can really afford to lose games. And so there's that added pressure of wanting to go and win the game. And then, of course, there is the, from our point of view, being top of the league. You know, I've managed teams that play the team who are top of the league, and you always want to beat them, don't you? That's just a natural thing to want to do. So from our point of view, we've got the pressures of wanting to win games, try and win the league, and we've got the fact that we're top of the pile at the moment, and someone wants to knock you off the top of being top of the pile. So, you know, they're things to look at. I don't think the local derby thing so much. I think it's more of what's at stake from our point of view.
Yeah. Also, looking at your running, your last six games, four of them are away as well. Is that could that make a difference?
Well, our away form a few weeks ago was very poor. We dropped a number of points away from home, and I know when we played Redbridge away at the time, I in the team tour, I said to the lads, you know, our away form, we were 15th in the previous six games, and Redbridge were fifth in the home form, you know, which a few of the lads in the dressing room looked a bit shocked by, you know, that our away form was that poor. So we kind of set that as a bit of a challenge that, if you need to look to improve an area with regard to finishing the season strong, our away form was one of those places we needed to do that. And I think also we perhaps slightly changed our style of play for a lot of the away games. And really since then we have picked up some points. But I just think it'll be tough wherever we're playing, whether it be home, whether it be away, you know. But that's the great thing about football, isn't it?
It is for me, being on, like, sitting on the fence. And I've said this over the first over a few weeks ago, obviously until Harlow signed Jamie Guy last week, that I thought you sort of had the best balance of the team, signing Michael Brothers to play up top, and obviously Sam alongside him, and you've got Westlake, and obviously. Young is it? I just thought your balance was perfect, and I think with Michael coming as well, you may say you may agree or not, but Sam's just seemed to sort of hit a good goal scoring streak recently.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, Sam won't be playing on the weekend. He's got a hamstring injury, so that's a bit of a disappointment.
They're jumping up and down behind me, by the way. Well, that's but you've got enough. You have got enough.
I think the thing is that, you know, this team we've got now, you know, this has been 2 years in the making. It's not something through together this year. We started this journey, if you like, when I went to the club. Well, actually, even before then, when I did 10 games the previous season. And last year, you know, we only kept two players from the previous campaign. And it's very much about getting the balance. And you know, successful teams have to be balanced, you know. And you know, you're right, Brubs came in, and Brubs has done very, very well. I mean, Michael Brothers has probably played 300 games of football for me over the years. He's played a lot of football for me, a lot of clubs, I know him very well, and he's been important. But it's just the overall improvement and the unity in the team is, and Brothers, how he's worked alongside Sam Newson has been a part of that, you know, and certainly, you know, Sam has hit a bit of a goal scoring run of late, he's done that for years, isn't he?
He has, yeah. He seems to, obviously, you know, he was on fire. I was touting about him a few years ago when he went off to Gillingham on trial, and then unfortunately had that bad break, and he just seems, obviously, he took a little time to get back, and he just seems now to be sort of, you know, I know confidence is a big thing, but he seems to be flowing again, and I said, it wouldn't shock me if I see him the top of the Golden Boot by the end of the year.
I think in previous years, Sam has been so important to the team, and I think that maybe he's been rushed back before he should have been back. And he doesn't help the fact because he's so desperate to play. It's just he loves the game. He loves to play the game. And when you watch him play, I've never seen a harder worker, a stronger. I mean, you talk about, you know, everyone looks at the goals, but he must be the worst player to play against for a central defender because he doesn't stop. He harries it all the time. And he's a great lad, I have to say. But the thing is that I'm, you know, perhaps it's just through being around a bit longer, the experience or whatever, you know, when there are issues with injuries or a lot of games, I'm happy to just to give him a rest. And I know he hates it sometimes, you know, but I don't really care about that, you know. It's about keeping him fit and keeping him fresh. And at the end of the day, you know, we've got the lad Ryan Crisp on the bench who's been very unlucky this year.
Yeah.
And Crispy's got great, you know, he's got great attributes, and because we play Ian Westlake further forward this year as well, and you know, obviously Westy's got, he brings a certain quality to this team as well. So
we've got a lot of experience there with him and Kemi, haven't you?
If you like the sort of the blueprint for what I was wanting to do was I've got Kemi, you're right, and I've got Westy, and there's Chris Hogg as well, three ex-pros, still fit, still at the right age, and we've got one or two older, experienced non-league players, but then we've got a lot of players who are 21 and under, and it's an ongoing building process. That some of those boys have improved this year, and they've got lots of capacity to get better and better and better, and that's really what we want to achieve there. But but having the ex-pros in the team and the experienced non-league lads just gives that a little bit of stability, that little bit of know-how that you need. You know you can't have 16 kids in your side, and you can't have 16 pensioners in your side. You've got to find a happy medium, haven't you?
Yeah, like I said, you do seem to have a good balance. What's your catchment area like up there, Mark? Obviously, you know, since I've been around and we're down here, obviously the players seem to move around a lot from Leeston to yourself to, obviously, I know Wroxham, but it was Lowestoft then, and obviously now Brighton, Lee Sea's come up. Obviously, well, you took a couple, obviously, Bruvs and that from there. And
that's personally, we're very, very lucky. I mean, I think it was 14 years ago, that was the first time I became manager at Needham. And I can remember when I looked at the job, thinking to myself, well, we have a fantastic taxi area because we're 2 miles from the A14, smack bang in the middle of Suffolk. And the A14, so we can get players coming down from Cambridge, from that neck of the woods, and they come up from Harwich and Colchester and across to, you know, you mentioned, you know, north of East Anglia as well. And so it's very easy to get to the ground. Plus, there's a mainline station in the town as well. So accessibility is a good thing. And you see also what I've tried to do is that, you know, we have, I think, four lads that come from Colchester. You know, we've got three lads, I think, come from the Norwich direction. So you can arrange car shares as well and that sort of thing. So I think it's important, well, I certainly myself think it's important to look at, when you're signing players, look at the travelling they've got to do, and can they travel with somebody else? Or because if a player's got to do 50, 60 miles three times a week, you're not going to get that player on his best form every training session, every match. So travelling's important. But we're very lucky at Needham, because as I say, our geographical position.
Mark, one of the things for me, I know we've been talking, we talked about it earlier on, about sort of Harlow going through three tough games and now Needham sort of going into three before. But what everybody forgets is even before that, you had three in Tilbury. And I remember Ray saying to me that not many people are going to go to Tilbury and get a win up there. And then Soham and then Brentwood. So you've been through three tough games as well. So you've been through three games there, full 9 points. So you know, even though people are saying, you know, I hear people saying, oh yeah, but you know, Needham have got to go through three tough games in Heybridge, Wroxham and Dereham, you've already been there, done that already, you know, in this run of your seven games before. But the one game that sort of interests me more than anything, and I don't know why, but it's been interesting me for quite some time, is the last two, is actually the last game for both sides, in the fact that Thamesmead come here and you know Terry will want to turn over Harlow, there's no doubts about that. But the Chatham game, and people said, why did the Chatham game interest you so much? I said, well, it was, if I'm right in saying it was a Chatham game, Chatham that helped you last year with the playoffs as such, shall we say, with the, you know, with what happened there. And this time round, you've got them at the last game of the season this time. And of course, Harlow go there this weekend, and it could be the same scenario again where, you know, they take points off of Harlow at the weekend.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I don't see Chatham taking points off Harlow the weekend. I think, you know, I've got to pay credit to Danny and his, and your team, really, because you've I looked at the Dereham game away. I thought that could be a place you could drop points. They had beaten us, and they're a decent side. And I know from reports that it was a poor game, but you won ugly and you won 1-0. Well, that's all you got to do, isn't it? You know, so
that's what I was going to say to you, Mark. Yeah. Looking at, like Dave mentioned it, the Tilbury game. You said about the Romford game. You know, them 1-0 wins are what win you the league.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing with us, of course, is, it's interesting, you obviously mentioned Sam, you talk about the players who are going forward, but our success is all about our defence.
Yeah.
You know, and teams that I've managed for years, you build from your defence, they're your building blocks. If you don't, you look at all the best teams of all time, at any level, it's all about the defence.
I was very impressed at Brentwood with the young centre-half you had.
Oh yeah, Joe White, the left half. But yeah, he's done really well for us. And actually, the interesting thing is that you've got, at the moment, we've got him and Ollie Fenn, who's playing at centre half, and you know, we've got Chris Hogg, who's fit now, was Hibs captain 3 years ago in the Scottish Premier Division, and Sam Nunn, who's played, I don't know, 400 games for Bury or 300 games for Bury, and they're on the bench. You know, that's how well those lads have played, but which is good because that just creates that bit of pressure on the others to get in the team, but you know, our attitude really is that you know, we're not going to let anyone score. That's as simple as that. And I think we've got, I know we've got less than a goal a game this season, which
is,
you know, and even last year, I mean, you know, you mentioned the going of Chatham and that quite incredible afternoon, but we had the best defensive record in the league. We didn't score enough goals last year, as simple as that. Apart from that last game, so you know, that's our sort of attitude is that, you know, we'll give nothing away and then, you know, see where it takes us.
I must admit that game at the end of last season, in, you know, the should we say the proper season, was probably for me, you know, I've only been involved in sort of Ryman League football for 3 years, has probably been one of the most probably the most amazing day, you know, for me in Ryman football that I've seen, because it was just crazy. We sat here on the show the week before. And I can't even move in the studio. And I literally just did turn around to him and say, I can see Needham getting in there. And it was just something about the whole situation. I don't know what it was. And, of course, on that day, I was, you know, texting backwards and forwards to Ray and saying, told you so. Only need three more, two more, one more. And it was just an incredible day. I mean, what was that like to be on your end of that? Because that just must have been incredible. Because we didn't expect you to lose the Whitam in the semi-final. Yeah. We was expecting to see you here in the final and playing you in the final.
It was surreal, I have to say. I mean, the bizarre thing about the game was that, you know, if there was ever a game of football when everything goes for you, that's it. Because Chatham hit the bar on a post twice, you know. I think we were 4-1 up and we could have been 5-4 down. You know, it was a ridiculous game of football. But we played three up front, 3-4-3 we played. And, you know, we had Brubs to join us in, and we had him and Sam Newson and the lad Ryan Chris up front, and they absolutely terrorised them, you know, and we could have got 15 goals that day, but they could have got about seven. I mean, you just, you know, for value for money, you know, it was a decent crowd there that day, you know, and... But and to be fair, I just felt I thought we'd go and beat Wigan, but you know, as is often the case, that was a little bit after the Lawmare show, and which was a bit of a shame really. But you know, but then to be fair, and I've been in Roman Premier, and it's a very very good level of football. We weren't ready to go up last year.
I was going to say that to you now, Mark.
We would have struggled this year. You know, a lot of the young lads who are still with us, because you know we've made hardly any changes in the 2 years, needed another year at Div 1 North. And I feel that if we can get up this year, we've got every chance to find in Roman Premier.
I asked Ray this question, and again I said to him, look, you know, it's not you're going to answer me back arrogantly, but you just sort of half mentioned it there. Are you giving up on and off the pitch for next year if you do get promoted?
Oh yeah. The club, off the pitch, the club have been ready for some time. I mean, it's you know, the football club and what happens behind the scenes with you know, with our academy, and there's a second academy opening in July as well. And certainly on the pitch, I believe that you know the key players to our future, and that's not, and I don't mean this to be disrespectful, but people like Westy and Kem. They're key now, but they're not key players for the future. The key players for the future are the 21-year-olds, the 20-year-olds.
But,
you know,
but they're going to help them 21-year-olds through, aren't they?
Absolutely. And then when they're 21-year-olds, they're 24, 25, and they've got, you know, and they've got 200-plus games of Roman League football on their belt, of which hopefully 50 or plus will be in the Roman Premier. That's a great launch pad for other youngsters to come in and for us to take the club forward to you know, hopefully to greater heights, really. But so I do believe that if we're you know, if we are promoted, we'll be fine. But I suppose the thing is, I have to say, and I've said this before to other members of the press, etc., where I'm very very lucky is that I've got a great club who've got great belief in myself and the staff, and if we don't get promoted, we're under no pressure.
Yeah, it's good
to get promoted. If we don't get promoted this year, the two executives says, well, okay, Mark, we'll do it next year.
Have you you mentioned your academy? Is Kevin Horlock still there?
Yeah, Kevin runs. Yeah, we've got the Needham side, which has got three first, second, and third year scholars, and then Kem is coming to work for us as head coach. We are as a team in the third and non-league called Brantham Athletic, and we're setting up the second side of Brantham Athletic, and Kem is going to be head coach for that as well. So we'll have a pretty impressive two head coaches for our academy, which is all part of the. Of the plan for the club going forward.
My question would be, my only concern for us, for you, whoever it may be, you know, come sort of, you know, 5 o'clock on the 25th of April, you know, where do you feel that the team, as I say, yours or ours, will have enough in the tank, you know, mentally, shall we say, to get themselves into the playoffs and through the playoffs and get promoted with whoever gets to the champions? Because I think it's going to be very, very tough. Because, I mean, if you've got, like, well, we've got 90, you've got 95 points, and you're not well clear, or we're not well clear with the amount of points we've got on the board, it could be sort of a bit of like an after the Lord Mayor show type thingy when you're going into those playoffs.
I mean, this is no disrespect to any of the other teams at all. I mean, Sudbury, particularly, one has done really, really well since Tony Gobble's gone there, and fair play to them. But, you know, I think we're 9 points ahead of Sudbury now. I think at the end of the season, you know, I think the points will be very close, and I think there could be 12, 14, 15 points in second place and the third place. And that would be, that's unfair to think that you can be that far ahead in one season and not guaranteed of going up.
Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. You scraped through last year, and it was, you know, and not that amount of points, but you know, you were the underdogs the game before the last game of the season.
Yeah.
I think you could have
both teams, you know, the first place and the second team, more than likely are going to be well over 100 points, and one of them might not actually be making it into the Roman Prem next year, which is, as you just said, it's probably scandalous in a way that they're not, but possibly not.
I think there's a couple of things. I mean, when I set a target at the beginning of the year for points to get ourselves up, and I think 95 was my target to win the league this year. Well, that's clearly not going to be any good, is it? You know?
We were just talking about this earlier.
Yeah, and but I mean, mean, from a personal point of view, I've been in the playoffs three times, and I've never got through the playoffs. I got close against Harlow when I was at Sudbury a few years ago, but I've never been through the playoffs, and so I don't want to win the playoffs actually, because you know there is always that concern. But at the end of the day, they have their role to play. They certainly keep the interest going to the end of the season, and you know, if whether it's Harlow or whether it's Needham who finish in the second place, you have to look at the, you know, I suspect the answer, the thing is not be too disappointed. The plus point about being second is you've got home advantage, and
yeah,
you know we've dropped 6 points at home this season. You've probably done about the same, I think. Mm-hmm. Both our home records are very, very good, and you hope that sort of keeps you in, you know, gives you a really good chance of getting the promotion.
I will say, Mark, have won the playoffs. It's not a bad feeling. I will say that to you, but. I've said this.
I don't want that feeling.
You can keep it, yeah.
In May, it doesn't make much difference, trust me. But I've said this to Dave, because he mentions this quite a lot about, you know, whoever finishes runners up, it's a blow. And I said, the way you should approach it isn't that. Obviously, the season's finished. You've just got to think, right, we're in a semi final of a cup now. And that's the way you've got to try and sort of get your mentality of the players, and this is where and obviously your favourites being where you are in the league, so and I hope this doesn't happen to either of your sides, but obviously you and Harlow are neck and neck. You've got quite a lot of experience, I think, to cope with that if it did unfortunately happen. So, and as you said, you know being that far clear, no one's going to really want to play Harlow or need him in the playoffs. So
I think the thing is as well, though, to be fair, subconsciously, I think I've done it, and I'm sure looking at Harlow's team, I think Danny has done it. We very much are, without obviously thinking about it, we are setting our squads up for maybe a playoff game. I mean, you know, I've got a couple of lads out on loan who'll come back to me, you know, for that end of season running, who'll be fit and flying, and my squad is quite big now. Harlow's squad is quite big. I mean, it's quite clever signing Jamie Guy. I know when the lads said, you know, wonder why they've signed Jamie Guy, and I said, well, I think they've signed him because you get him goals, but the other thing Jamie Guy's very good at is taking penalties. he don't miss penalties, you know, so whether that was in Danny's thinking as well when he's available, you know. So I think the thing is that another thing, of course, is that often the team who are second go into the playoffs not in a good run of form. And I don't think that would be the case with it.
That's a very good point.
I don't see us capitulating in the last five or six games. I think we're both going to...
And also, there's no one made a massive surge for the playoffs and great form. Obviously, Sudbury, you know, that they had, you know, but they've been amongst it. But there isn't someone come from the chasing pack in the last week and's going to nick that playoff space. Yeah. So
I think the other sort of scenario, of course, as well, is, of course, it could get to a situation where, you know, you come down to the Harlow game on the 18th, and of course, you know, for you it goes the way you want it to go. You've won the league, and of course, then the situation comes up. Then you've then got that sort of scenario where you get presented with a trophy, and I think it'll probably be the quickest exit of any crowd in history of Ryman League. I think if that happens, but I mean, don't get me wrong,
they'll pick them because they're at home.
I think exactly. Yeah. But there will be people that will stay. I know that they will stay and congratulate Needham at the time. But you've got that sort of situation as well, where you've got, you know, maybe if that was the case at that time, then, you know, you've got, you know, the team that's been chasing you in the latter part of the season, seeing your opponent's been given that trophy, does that spur them on, or does that sort of give them a bit of a kick in the teeth?
Well, two things I'll say there. First of all, you know, at the end of the day, if the league decides to do it, if it does happen, the league decides to do it, that, the Roma League, right? They'll wait their decision and they'll do it. I mean, I personally would be really uncomfortable if it happened to Yatalo, because at the end of the day, the season's been very much about our two clubs, and I think that'd be unfair. Now, but if I was managing, you know, if it was in my position and I was managing, your motivation to win the playoffs is there at it, because as sick as you would feel seeing that trophy given away, you can take that forward, you know, to the next games, and you can remind the players of that, you know, all the time, to say, look, they've got that big silver cup, and we should be with them. So, you know, that because all those, you've got, as a manager, you've also got to look for a little plus somewhere, and a little lift somewhere, and things like that. You know, players can be motivated. You know, you can't win a league you can't win a league or win anything over a long period of games on adrenaline and pumping players up, but you can on two or three games, and if you get the right blend of that adrenaline drive, that can be enough to take you through the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark, listen, mate, we've run out of time, but it's been a fantastic chat with you, and hopefully we'll speak to you again maybe a bit later on in the season. Maybe if it does go down to that last game, we'll have a chat maybe leading up to that game. But it's been fantastic speaking to you, and I really do wish you all the very best, and you know, for the season, because of, you know, as I do for with Harlow as well, it is one of those things where it's been a fantastic season for both clubs, and just, you know, hopefully the best team at the end of it will take the title, and you know, and whichever team drops into the playoffs, I really do hope that they manage to get themselves through as well. But you've always been a fantastic guy, and I wish you all the very, very best for what's coming up in the rest of the season.
We'll have a chat, I'm sure, later on. It might be interesting if that game on the 18th does become an interesting game, which as I said to you before, I just think it will. So
definitely. Well, if it ends up being one of those that type of game, we'll see if we can get you back on again, and we'll get Ray in the studio as well. Okay, if his wife lets him out, of course.
All the best.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, mate. Bye bye.